Good evening, Abba Yisai. Good evening. How are you? Good. We're up to Siman Tov Resh Tadi Beis. We're up to the last part of Sif Aleph. And we're going to be learning tonight, amongst other shailas and halachas, we'll be discussing as well the shaila of the halachas of a person who is lining for a group of women. Who, and he's Yoitz already, does he make the brachas again? Does he not make the brachas? Should rather one of the women make the brachas of the Megillah? Good question, or can he make the brachas on their behalf? He's Yoitz already, can he still make the brachas or not? The Baal Koira. That's one question. Then we'll be discussing what's the earliest time of reading the actual Megillah? What's the earliest time to read the Megillah? Is it by Nacht, or is there sometimes circumstances in which you'll be able to be Yoitzer and read the Megillah earlier already? Are there such circumstances? And finally, a very important shaila I'd like to discuss tonight is the shaila of, can you eat on the Tainus after the Tainus? We know we go in from the Tainus, us, over here in Edgware. We go straight from the Tainus, Esther, we go into Kiyas HaMegillah. Now, is there any way you could eat or drink before the Megillah? The Tainus is finished already, by Nacht, the Tainus is finished. When we start reading, we only start reading after Nacht. So, and it's quite a bit of time still until we get home. Can you have a bit of drink of water, a bit of cake, a bit of something after this long Tainus? Before the Megillah, or can you not? That will be a shaila we'll be addressing. Before we move on, I want to address a question that you asked on Thursday, Shia, and I want you to answer it because I saw something today about this. The question asked by Yosef was that we spoke about an oval. We spoke about an oval, and the Mishnah Berurah says that an oval in Seif Cotton, we learned in Seif Cotton Aleph, that an oval cannot make the brachsha. Eina oval mevarich lo yitzirab in birka shechiyonu. An oval doesn't make shechiyonu. And we address that. Shlomo Zalman says that it's aveiros befahesia. So aveiros befahesia to do so. And then you ask that to do something, a passive act is not considered aveiros befahesia. Do you remember the question that you asked? So I just happened to see that Reb Shlomo Zalman explains it the following. It seems that what he means to say is that it's still considered avelis befahesia, because the reason why a passive act normally is okay is because it's not nikah. Nobody sees an oven is not doing something. That's not called avelis befahesia. Over here, since he's going to start lining the Megillah, in a minute he's going to line the Megillah. He doesn't say the brachas before, and that's nikah, and therefore avelis befahesia is a problem of according to Reb Shlomo Zalman. Yeah, just to answer your question that you put. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, clearly shouldn't say shechiyonu. Mishnah Berurah says he shouldn't say shechiyonu. Reb Shlomo Zalman seems to be choilek. Yeah. Right, we're up to Seif Aleph in page 316, towards the end. V'le'achareo, we finish with the Ramah, and the Shulchan Aruch says, V'le'achareo, after the Megillah, noyagi levorech, the custom is to make a bracha, rav es riveinu, im lo beirach, loy lefaneh, loy le'achareo, yotzad. The Shulchan Aruch teaches us 2 points. Point number one, that is a bracha that we say after the Megillah. Rav es riveinu. That's the bracha that we say after the Megillah. That's point number one. Point number two. If somebody lined the Megillah, but he failed to make the brachas before, or the brachas after, even if you didn't make the brachas, the birkas hamitzvahs, and although there's an obligation to make brachas before fulfilling mitzvah, but if you didn't make the brachas, nevertheless, you're yoytze the mitzvah. Says the Mishnah Berurah and Seif Cotton, hey, Horav is Riveinu, ve'ein lo ima hokei lo rav, kemen shekva zohar Hashem, kva zohar Hashem shoma Elokeinu. So you see, that's the general gears, is that the way we have got it, that is the correct nosach. Okay. Right, continues the Virmo. Noagu lo ima balaylo, and the custom is to say, banat asher heini. There is a whole Piyut, the whole tefillah, Asheheni Atzas Goyim, that we say by night. But, Avaloi Beyoim. So, Nagulayim Abalaylo Asheheni, Avaloi Beyoim. Says the Ramah, and now he says that the whole, you know, that leads into Shoshanas Yaakov. Do you know the tefillah that leads Asheheni Atzas Goyim? Beautiful tefillah, and that leads to the last two lines is Shoshanas Yaakov. The whole tefillah, you say it as well, I'm sure. No, after the Megillah by night. Asheheni Atzas. So he says, V'noagulam abalaylo Asheheni. The tefillah is only said by night, Asheheni, avaloi b'yom, but we don't say it by day. Says the Mishneh Berurah, avaloi b'yom, the kvar oma piyutim, says the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot and Zayin. Because we said already piyutim, and the way I understand the Mishneh Berurah is that since he said piyutim, so therefore, we've included all those points already. I think that's probably what he means. We've included all those points already. They have been discussed and therefore we don't say Asheheni after the Megillah of that day. And that's taka the minhag in many places. We don't say Asheheni after Megillah by day. We only say it by night. But what comes out, what in your opinion comes out from the Mishneh Berurah? Mishneh Berurah says we don't say Asheheni. Why? Because we said Piyutim. Rabbi said, do we say Piyutim? Many, we don't, we have the Koivets, all the Piyutim. Do we say Piyutim on Purim morning? In Kolyakiv, in Shtibol, in Kodol? Piyutim are said, ETC says Piyutim. I don't think many places, unfortunately. I don't think it's one of the beautiful, one of the most beautiful treasures of Knali soil, the beautiful Piyutim. Have been recently, unfortunately, a lot of shuls, it's not so common anymore. Pardon? So the point being, the Mishnah says we don't say Asheheni because we say Piyutim. So what comes? So therefore, the place that don't say Piyutim, what do you think, Rabbi Yisai? Should say Asheheni. That's a Mamshalachem. What do Rabbi Yisai in Shul that you daven, Rabbi Yisai? Do you say Asheheni on Purim morning? I've never seen it. But some poets can say, according to Mishnah, you should. According to Mishnah, you should. That's what it sounds like. Oh, say that since the minhag is not to say it by the. That, admittedly, the reason doesn't apply anymore, but some say that's the minhag already, so we don't say Asheheni by day. But many poets can say, Aloch Lamaisi, you should. No. No. Correct. Yeah, so, but Asheheni, but according to Mishneh Berurah, there is room for arguing that one should actually say Asheheni by day as well. Okay. Save base. Last few words of the Ramah, bottom line. But the bracha afterwards is only to be said betzibu. The bracha after the Megillah is only to be said betzibu. Unlike the brachas before the Megillah. Okay, siv beis. Ein osuach pa'ochi kerinoi, someone should not talk whilst the Megillah is being read. I think that we have covered that point in other seifim, but the Mishneh Berurah adds a couple of points in the cotton test. Ein osuach pa'ochi kerinoi, someone should not talk whilst the Megillah is being lined, Hainu ben Hashemer uvena koire, whether it's the listener or the bal koire, osulem nasuach lechatchila. You're not allowed to lechatchila talk during the Megillah. But afilu b'divrei Torah, even if you've got this moyedik chiddush on the Megillah, during the Megillah you wanna tell you everyone, I've got moyedik chiddush over here. Don't interrupt in the middle of the Megillah, even if it's divrei Torah. V'lein inyan dev diavad yesh chiluk. If you have spoken, what's the halacha then? Says the Mishneh Berurah, it depends. Linyan b'diavad yesh chiluk. Da shemeh, the listener imsoch b'eis akriya. If the listener talked whilst the Baal Kriya was reading the Megillah, lo yotza. The listener, if he talked, is not yotza b'diavad. Afilim chisa lishmat heva achas. Even if one word he didn't hear, one word is not yotza b'diavad. The holo yishamakula, he didn't hear the whole Megillah. Avala koira. But the Baal Kore, Yotza, the Baal Kore, if he talked in the middle, he's still Yotza b'di'avad. The Baal Kore, correct. Yeah, even Lechatchila says a Shatzin, correct. Why, you're saying that even b'di'avad? Yeah, so he's talking, very good question. Rabbi Yisrael, what do you think about this question? Based on the earlier Shatzin that we discussed, you would have to interrupt the Megillah to say something, we said, to want to comment or something which was according to Shah Tzion, it was in Yonah de Purim, you'd have to interrupt. So why are we only Bediavet? Or it seems to be only Bediavet? So the answer, I believe, is that he is talking about something which is not necessarily Purim related. If he wants to talk about the beginning when he was saying Divrei Torah was about even the Shemea. But when he's talking about the Baal Kore, he's talking about something which, you're quite right, he's allowed to interrupt. something which is Purim related, you'd be allowed to do that, as we learned earlier. Or we're talking about something which is not related at all to the Megillah or to Purim. Yeah, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to add over here a beautiful point, if I may, from Reb Chaim Kanievsky in Taima Dikra. I think it's such an amazing point. If I may add, just add that point, that Reb Chaim Kanievsky, sozusagen gesunden stark, he addresses this point that we're just covering now in Taima Dikra, which is his perish on Tnach. And on all, he asks, why is it that the Megillah was so makbit that you need to hear every single word? Why is it that if you didn't hear one word, you're not Yotze? Afilo Tevach, as Mishnah Berurah just said now. One word you didn't hear, you're not Yotze. Why is that so incredibly chomu? Why is it that you have to be so particular of hearing every single word? So that's Reb Chaim Kanievsky's question. Fair question? Fair question. Beautiful. Beautiful. Says Abraham Kanievsky the following. He says a beautiful word. Abraham Kanievsky says, Alderich Drush is a mördiger answer. He says as follows. He says that the whole Megillah is the Gilui, the revelation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But you wouldn't have seen it. One instant by itself, the fact that Vashti is being called and she refuses to come for whatever the reason is and she gets killed on the spot. That itself, you don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam. The fact that Esther afterwards becomes the queen, that itself is whole. That itself, you wouldn't have known. After the other event, or after it's Motche hearing to Big Son Vaseresh, every event individually, you wouldn't have seen the Ribbono Shel Olam. You wouldn't have seen the Gilui of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's only because you see the whole string of events from the very beginning until the very end. After all these years and years of build-up, until you see the HaKadosh Baruch at the very end. He said if you fail to even see one little point, you don't see the Gilui, the revelation of Hashem Yisboach Shemoi. You need to see the whole thing. You need to see the whole picture. You just have you just see a little bit of it. You don't see Hashem. You need to see the whole picture from beginning to end. Therefore, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zalang Zunt and Stark, it makes sense. You need to hear every single word of the Megillah. It represents that very point that you need to see everything. If you don't hear the whole Megillah, it represents if you didn't see, you need to see the whole Megillah to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. You need to hear the whole Megillah to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. I think it's a beautiful word by Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Makes sense? Makes sense. I think that's why Chazal was so chomo that you need to hear every word. Makes sense? Makes sense. I think it's a very nice word. Af al pi, says Shulchan Aruch Tziv Gimel. Af al pi shiyotzo kvar, mevoich lehoitzi es achrei dechavosoi. Af al pi, even though shiyotzo kvar, you're yoitz already, mevoich lehoitzi es achrei dechavosoi. Although you're yoitz already, you can still make the bracha to be moitzi others. Seif kotten, yudin mishneburim. Af al pi shiyotzo kvar, mevoich. Vekolshken, tu yochoi lehoitzion bekiyom, says the Mishnah Shulchan Aruch, not only that you can be moitzi, and not only you can make a bracha, although you have heard the bracha already, but you can also say the Megillah, although you've been moitzi the Megillah already. Mikol makom yesh poiskim shesoivim de'ilin bracha. So with regards to the bracha, says the Mishnah Buddha, our poiskim hold the following. Im yoidim be'atzman levarech, yevorchum be'atzman, kimun shekva yotze bekriya. He said that really the our poiskim will say that if you've been yoitzi already with the reading, you've been yoitzi with the Megillah already, and you're now lining, you're reading for others now, better that they should make the bracha themselves. As opposed to you making a bracha a second time round. Pardon? Oh, very good, very good, very excellent. The minig is that you can be yoitzi them. Hey, very good question. So Mishnah Berurah says now, let's just recap what the Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah Berurah says, with regards to the brachas, if you're going out to be moitzi others, be it a person in hospital, be it ladies, be it your wife, be it children, whatever it may be, says the Mishnah Berurah, that yes, certainly, you could make a bracha for them, says that, although you're yoitz already, you can make a bracha on their behalf. And surely, as you're saying very accurately, this is based on the concept of arvus. We know there's a concept of arvus. Arvus, kol Yisrael, arevim zebazeh. And arvus, really what halachically arvus means is that since he still has got an obligation to be yoitzah, that obligation is transferred onto me to some extent. And therefore, I still have got a chiyuv. And therefore, I can make a bracha. So although I've been yoitz already, I've listened to the Megillah, he hasn't, So because he hasn't, I can make a bracha. That's the Arvus. So therefore, I can make a bracha. I've been yoitz in the Megillah already. I can make a bracha for him. Says the Mishnah, some poskim don't like that so much. So, but he says the minhag is to be mekel, and that I think certainly is the minhag. What do you think about Sai? Ever seen somebody? Well, how does it normally work? Women's minion, or choyle in hospital? Who makes the bracha normally? I think it normally is the balkoira. I think it's the balkoira. Yeah, I think what do you think? It's normally the balkoira is going to make the bracha. That was Mishnah says the minhag. Olam da apos kim amachme, but I think that's generally the minhag.
Would a third person be able to say the bracha?
Who is Yotze or not Yotze? How would that work? What's the case?
So two people have been Yotze, one person hasn't. So for the person who wants to be Yotze, doesn't know how to say anything.
He's Moitze.
So one of the people who's been Yotze says the brochas, and the other one who's been Yotze reads the Megillah.
Right, so he's Moitze then for the brocha.
Okay, so one's Yotze for the brocha, and one's
interesting question, Abba Isai. What do you think? If the Balkoira doesn't want to make the bracha, for instance.
Yes,
okay, Rabbi, so what do you think about this following Shaila? A Balkoira doesn't want to make the bracha. For the Yesh Poiskim. Yeah. Balkoira doesn't want to make the bracha. And the people who are listening, ladies or whoever, maybe they don't feel comfortable making the brachas loud. Don't feel comfortable. Don't feel comfortable making the bracha. There's a third person present, and he wants to know. And he wants to make the brachas on their behalf. Does that work or not?
He's
yoitz already. Does that work or not?
No, the guy's reading it. It's
decided. Yeah. What do you think? Interesting shaila.
What's the balkoira can make the brachas? Why should it be different than anybody?
Right, because he's lemaish to being moitzi. So therefore you're saying that what?
What
should be different? Right. Right. Yeah. But, although I'm not 100% sure, I think that he's going to be moitzi them with the brocha. So as far as the Av is concerned, there's an Av with regards to the actual brocha. And I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but it's an interesting question, but I believe that it will be Av for the brocha, not related to the kia. And therefore he would be able to do that. But it's something to double check. It's an interesting shaila. Yeah, it's an interesting shaila. Yeah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Tzivkot Yud Aleph, V'loitzi es achi yedei chavoso, V'kreinu le'noshim, achas yotzim beis haknesses. A person who does read for the women, he said he should do so after he has heard himself in shul. The mitzvah sheyetze be'atzma b'kiyas ha'tzibu. A person who is going to read for women, what is better? That's really what he's addressing over here. What do you think is better? Should a person who knows he's going to have to read later for a group of women, is it better that he doesn't listen to the Megillah in shul, and he's going to be yoitz himself later with the reading for the women, that he's going to read himself for the women? Or is it better that he listens to the Megillah in shul, and afterwards he's going to be yoitz the women without himself being chayv in it? First in shul. What do you think?
Yeah.
Better in shul. Why is that?
You don't know what will happen.
You don't know what will happen. Maybe the kiyah won't be perfect. Maybe, yeah?
It's better first in shul because it's not a proper
minyan. Well, the Mishnah Berurah says basically that point. He says that there is, it's better that he should be yoitzer with the mitzvah in shul. There is something about roiv am. Sounds like it's over am, or maybe the actual presence in shul. So ideally, should Taka do that? And if he's later being moitzi the women, says the Mishnah Berurah, carries on. Och ani mechaven shlo elotzes boisukia shapi adom elotzes achkach b'kias atzibu. He says you could really, in theory, you could try not to be yotze in shul, and then afterwards make the brachas yourself later. But it sounds like it's not ideal. Shemavoich lenoshim. That's a point we mentioned earlier. Shemavoich lenoshim toiv shemavoich lishma megillah. If we make a bracha for, if he is yotze already, like he said, ideally should be. You have listened to the megillah in shul, You're yotze ready? You should make the bracha for the ladies later. The bracha they make the shmaya megillah, as we mentioned earlier. Ki yesh poskim shem the isha and the chayev is bekriya. Rak lishma, that's an interesting topic. That according to some authorities, the halacha is that a woman makes a bracha for the shmaya megillah. And therefore, that's as far the obligation goes. Therefore, if it's moitzi ladies, he's only going to say lishmaya megillah, because there's no additional, there's no further obligation in that. You can only make a bracha as much, there's a chiyuv over here. Since the women are only obligated lishmaya, you're going to say lishmaya, not likra megillah. Yeah, then you would make the proper bracha, correct?
If that's also within the shul, then the mile of being
yotze. If what? If?
If the lady's lane is also within the shul.
Yes, that's a good question. Does he mean over here shul? Does he mean over here shul the premises of the shul, or does he mean a minion with a great tzibur, with an obligation, with a chiyuv? And does he mean that? Right, very good. The poskim mentioned that. Mamash over here, they mentioned that. The mamash mentioned that. So it's not so clear, that point. What do you think about Isai? But there is a tzad to say that if there's going to be a ladies' minion, which actually will be in shul, what will be the halacha then? In Ezra's Noshim, there's a large oilam. What will be the halacha then? The poskim mamash mentioned this over here. It's not so poshut. That itself is a machloek as a poskim. What do you think about Isai? Yeah, it could be that it's not referring to the premises of the shul, but it could, yeah, but it's a mamash machloek. Some say that. No, you've got a big piece of manis. Yeah. Okay. Now, the Seif Dalet is addressing a very important shaila, which is the shaila of the Tainis. It's interesting that it's actually brought down over in Seif Dalet. It's closely connected to the halacha of the Tainis. We all know there's a Tainis. And after Tanis leads straight onto Purim, where we land the Megillah over here in Chutz La'aretz. So now says the Shulchan Aruch the following. But maybe before we actually see the Shulchan Aruch, we need to understand that there is obviously something happening, which is actually it's a very essential point. There is the Tanis, but after the Tanis, the question is: are you allowed to now? Why don't we, let me ask as follows, why don't we, after the Tanis, Daven Maariv, go home, have a meal, we're all hungry, we fasted all day, have a meal, meet an hour later in Shul for Kiyas HaMegillah. Why don't we do that? Pardon?
People won't come.
Practically speaking, people won't come.
We do that with
Kiddush Levana. Well, occasionally, yes. Yes, that's right. Yeah, because you're referring to the poskim who say you shouldn't go straight. You shouldn't say kiddush levonik shemenuda with the tisha b'av, correct? Yeah. What you say people won't do it. Okay. People, what do you think about Isai? Make a minyan an hour after. You know, then like this, you can say the megillah slowly without the rush, not looking every 5 minutes. You know. Zrizin Makdimin, do it as early as possible. What else? Is that why we don't do it? Zrizin Makdimin? Yeah. Machloikas, you're quite right. That the Alpoiskim hold that Zrizin Makdimin are not doichedo mitzvah. Some hold you do. So you're referring to the Poiskim hold that Zrizin Makdimin is not doichedo mitzvah. Then the poskim hold the hidomitz is doich hazrizin. According to that, it wouldn't be an answer. Yeah. So yeah, is that all convincing arguments? Imagine that large minion. Pardon.
If people normally daven maariv after supper time, that includes kriya shema.
Strong argument, very strong point. We often, many of us will daven maariv at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, which is well after nacht. We come back for kriya shema, which is deraisa. So surely for megillah should be all right. So we're not bothered about zizin makdimin so much. It seems whatever the reason may be, and we're not bothered people still come later on. So why is that? So the emissary is the ease of here and halacha, which is not even so, which is really interesting. It's a beautiful topic. The halacha that is over here hidden is that there is an issa to eat before we fulfill a mitzvah. We have come across this concept in various other areas, such as Pardon? Bit of shofar, absolutely. By shofar, we know we don't have. There's only a limited amount of food we're allowed to. We make kiddush, right? Only a certain amount we eat before we actually go and buy have kiddush, and before shofar is only a. We've come across the issa not to eat before fulfilling a mitzvah. Well, yes.
But it's all right to point out. I learned that you can eat a small amount of food and drink before listening to the Megillah in the evening.
Good. We shall get to that point, Mitzvah. I'm afraid it might not be tonight, but we will definitely get to that point because that's what we're going to be discussing at length over here. Mitzvah Hashem. So certainly, where else do we find this halacha? We find this halacha with regards to Dalet Minim. Dalet Minim also is an Issa to eat, besides Te'ima, which will still identify exactly what is exactly a Te'ima, but you're not allowed to have a more substantial amount of food before you fulfill the Mitzvah Dalet Minim. Yeah.
So a Suda before Shabbos or Yom Tov?
That's not exactly that. It's similar, but not exactly that. It's not exactly that. B'dikas chometz, we find exactly the same. B'dikas chometz, we find there might be an issa of even learning, which interrupt learning, and certainly sleeping and eating as well. Before we even, it's a general rule that before, when the time has come of a certain mitzvah, when the time has come, we have to. There's an issa that comes in as the zman comes in of the mitzvah. There's an issa comes in. You mustn't eat before you fulfill the mitzvah, because we all know what it's like when we start eating. We forget everything else. That's what it's like, right? That's what we're all humans. When we eat, we forget everything else. Therefore, there's an issa chachamim. We're fully aware of that. And therefore, there's an issa of eating besides the te'ima, which is a small amount. You're not allowed to eat before you fill the mitzvah. The same applies over here, and we'll have to address that mitzvah in greater detail tomorrow. Once the zman, once it's nacht, and the zman of the Megillah kicks in, if I may say, so that simultaneously also the issa comes. The issa comes of not being allowed to eat. So the tarnis is taka finished, but as the tarnis is finished, there's a new issa comes in. You're not allowed to eat before fulfilling the mitzvah Megillah. Therefore, there's actually it's gito v'yoto boin ke'echot, as you would say, that as the tarnis finishes, tarnis finished because it's nacht. At the same second, now the issa comes in of not allowed to eat now because the mitzvah of Megillah is starting, and therefore we're not allowed to eat before the Megillah. And that's why we don't make a minyan at 8 o'clock or at 9 o'clock of getting together for the Megillah, because we mustn't eat before the Megillah. But we'll address that in greater detail in mitzvah tomorrow. This is just an introduction.